This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, top of the hour to you. 4:01 is the time. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, hanging out until 7 o'clock. Coming up on our Thanksgiving holiday, we will have a full show tomorrow for you on Thanksgiving Eve. So make sure you join us tomorrow between 3 and 7 o'clock as you get things ready for your Thanksgiving holiday. We have Chris versus the fans coming up here. Phone number 833-288-0973. You know, maybe you're my kryptonite, Tony.
I'm your kryptonite?
You might be my kryptonite because when I was home, we were doing the show separately. You know, at home, I was on a roll there for a couple of months. Then last week, or a week before last, we came back into studio, and I couldn't get a question right for like 3 days in a row. Last week, you were gone. I couldn't get one wrong for 3 days in a row.
I needed to change the music to this.
So I'm thinking that maybe Tony Gwynn Jr. is my kryptonite. What do you think, Scrape?
I think he is. That's why the new open needs to be Kryptonite by Three Doors Down.
Wait a minute. How am I your kryptonite? I pretty much feel like you win every time I'm here.
It changes when you're not here.
Like he just goes to dominant mode when I'm not here?
Like, I don't know. Last week I was really rolling.
The week before
I was struggling. Remember I had the slump that included the Brian Sipe question that's still bothering me 2 weeks later? Anyway. No, I don't know. I'm kidding around. Tony Gwynn Jr. will host Chris versus the fans here shortly. If you'd like to call in, and if you do win today, you will be qualified for the chance to win the grand prize, a trip to Las Vegas, dinner for two at the world-famous Benihana, dinner for two at Fresco Italiano, voted number one Italian restaurant on TripAdvisor, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. It's all legendary. It's all Las Vegas. It's all fun. Before we get to Chris versus the fans, though, I just thought I'd like to duck in a little good news here because we can all use some. Hall of Fame manager Tommy Lasorda, his condition has improved. He does remain hospitalized in Southern California, but Dodgers spokesman Steve Brenner said today the team's 93-year-old former manager has been taking online calls from former players and coaches at a hospital in Orange County. Lasorda, the first announcement that he was hospitalized came 9 days ago, and it had been a little concerning for the last 9 days because we'd heard he wasn't in very good condition. It was one of those things where he's hospitalized in intensive care, but he's in stable condition. That always still worries me when
Absolutely.
You're hospitalized in intensive care.
Especially when
care.
You're of that age, too.
Right. So hopefully everything turns out all right with Tommy Lasorda, and he's able to get out of the hospital in time for the holidays. How well did you know Tommy Lasorda as a player in the Dodgers organization?
You know, what's interesting is Tommy and I didn't get off to the best start.
Nor did I and Tommy either.
But over time, we were on much better terms and much more friendly.
That's good.
And so, yeah, I'm certainly hoping that
he
gets back on his feet. And
yes, I told a couple stories last week of a couple of the tough run-ins I had with him when I was covering the Dodgers for the newspaper in Los Angeles. Not always the easiest guy to deal with, but still, I want him to get better, and he's still
what is the word that
guy that we need in the world of baseball?
No doubt. What is the word that you would use for somebody that doesn't really know how to?
No filter?
No filter is the best way.
Abrasive
is even better.
Tommy could be that way.
He could be abrasive at times. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was one of those situations where when I first got there, I was like, really? This is what we're going with, huh? So
yeah.
It took a little bit, but we were on good terms by the time I was
good.
Done there.
Well, everybody's rooting for Tommy Lasorda. I don't care if you're the biggest Padre fan of all time. You've got to be rooting for Tommy Lasorda to feel better, and good news today,
absolutely.
He does. So yeah. That's I wanted to pass that along. All right, Scraby, hit the cue. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
For everybody out there, the
what Tony said was, all right.
All right.
What you heard was...
Yeah, you heard nothing.
It's great, but give us the rules.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult as we go along. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or if you're on the third question, you win.
All right, Scraby, who are we starting with today?
However the list works out.
All righty. Gilberto, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How's your Tuesday going?
Hey, Gilberto.
Hola, muchachos. Hola, muchachos. ¿Cómo están ustedes?
Ah, bien, bien, bien.
Yeah.
Bien, gracias.
Here we go.
Y tú.
Before anything, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Okay?
Yes, of course.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. All right, here we go. Gilberto, first question. Huh. What three colors make up the NBA logo?
The NBA logo, that's red, white, and blue.
Go ahead then, Gilberto.
Attaboy.
Question number one.
A good start.
Light work for you, light work. Here we go. Question number two. Blake Griffin dunked over what object to win the NBA slam dunk contest in 2011?
I believe he dunked over a car.
Car?
That's correct.
That is correct. It was, to be specific, it was the hood of a Kia. You remember he was doing lots of Kia endorsements at that time.
Good way to get the
he had great endorsements.
Endorsement.
He was a pretty good endorser, for
mention.
Sure. All right, here we go. Gilberto, you're going for a clean sweep here. Question number three. Oh, one of my favorite finds of all time. Which current Baltimore Raven was fined more than $14,000 for his touchdown celebration in a Monday night football game?
I want to say Anquan Boldin.
Anquan Boldin.
Great guess.
That is it.
Stay there.
Correct.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith for the win.
Oh, wow.
Clean.
Wow.
Sweet. Gilberto. Congratulations. Hang on the line. The answer is Marcus Peters. Now, I was actually thinking of Marcus Peters getting fined for throwing the flag after he got flagged. He was with the Chiefs, I believe, at the time.
Yeah.
He turned and threw that flag in the stands.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite finds of all time.
That was a good one. This one was when he drank beer out of the fan's cup. When he ran over to the fan and he just took the beer cup and poured it on his face.
I think I remember that, actually.
Which is not.
That cost
the
him
best.
That beer cost $14,000, huh?
It did.
Wow.
It did, but it was a great celebration.
That's an expensive beer
they
right
can
there.
Afford it.
But I don't know that
that's
the best way.
Yeah, you can afford it when you're ready to pay that. I don't think he was expecting to pay $14,000. Oh, maybe he was when he took the beer out of the fan's hand, huh?
I feel like sometimes these guys just don't think about the
I don't think they're thinking about it at all.
And then,
like, I guarantee you he didn't think about that fine when he was getting ready to throw that flag into the stands there. I promise you
That's a little bit worse than a beer to the face.
Do they still charge him for throwing a football into the stand?
Like, yes, they do.
I think they do.
$500 or something like that?
I've seen a couple of those. Like last week I saw a couple of guys.
No, I think it's actually way more than that. Because remember that jet who got the... Oh, no, that was something different. My bad.
Well, it made sense when you had a bunch of fans in the stands that you don't want them throwing the football up there.
It's not like you can't go back up in the stands and grab the football.
And you could take somebody's eye out, as the old saying goes, but there's nobody in the stands anymore.
I mean, really, I mean, I've seen fans jump out of the stands to catch a football that's going through the uprights.
The guy in Monday Night Football is still famous for doing that. They did a story on him last week before the Bears game against
the Vikings. He had to, like, break a leg or something.
I don't think he did. He took quite a leap to catch that extra point.
Did they let him keep it?
Oh, he still. Not only did he keep the football, this happened like 25 years ago on a Monday Night Football.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, they did a story. The only reason I'm up on this is they did a story on him last Monday night before the Bears Vikings game, and they had him on. And it was, I think it was a Packers game on a Monday night.
It was
20 some
game.
Odd years ago. And Kevin Butler kicked the extra point, kicked it over the net. And this guy leaped out of the crowd where the tunnel is, caught the ball in mid-flight, then landed out of camera view. And they made a big deal out of it. Well, he became infamous in Chicago. Kevin Butler signed the football for him. The Bears all posed with picture. I mean, he's got more memorabilia.
Aren't you supposed to go to jail for doing something like that? Like, isn't that trespassing? Like, wouldn't that be? Is that any different than running on the field?
Evidently, the Bears didn't think so. They celebrated the guy, and they celebrate him to this day. And he celebrates his 15 minutes of fame for catching that football after the Monday night kick. So.
What I was going to say is, remember that? I think it was Bilal Powell who Bilal, yeah, isn't that his name? Bilal Powell?
Yeah, Jet? Probably.
Yeah, he was a Jet, and then he used the football to, like, wipe his rear end, and then he got a fine. and then he got a fine, but then he got an endorsement out of it by men's wipes.
That's what I do remember that.
Yeah. So sometimes it pays to break the rules.
And who wouldn't want an endorsement for men's wipes?
I bet you Bilal Powell's taking it right now. He's living off of men's wipes money right now.
By the way, if there's a men's wipes company out there listening right now,
Chris is
more than happy to help you out. Yeah. All right. All right. Gilberto takes down Chris versus the fans. And once again, yes, Tony's
maybe
back.
Maybe I am your jinx,
yeah,
man.
And I can't get it. I had no clue. I wouldn't have got that in like 25 guesses. I didn't remember that, and I can't even picture it now. So it's like totally out of my realm of possibility. But Gilberto, it's all good for you. You are qualified to win that Las Vegas trip. We'll take the break. Brian Baldinger scheduled a little earlier in the program. Good news for you. He's coming on next to talk National Football League, our radio.com NFL insider. That's when we return. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Gwynn and Chris, more to come after traffic.
I just gave the no symbol as he's going to it, which is
no
a little too late.
No traffic. So go right to break, and then we'll check on traffic and Brian Baldinger shortly. I'm going to open that segment. I was just about to say 420. My lips went, and you said
I got
420
it out before
at that
you
exact
get...
moment. So, yeah, perfect.
Well, your partner's back, and we're all taking you through this Tuesday afternoon/evening, and as we wait for Brian Baldinger, got a little NFL insider for you. Talk a little bit about what's going on, what we saw over the weekend. And Chris, man, I got to tell you, maybe I am your bad luck, man. I don't know. Last time I remember you getting swept in the first call of Chris versus the fan.
Well, I didn't remember. I only missed one question, but I didn't know Marcus Peters. I didn't remember his celebration at all. I still don't.
I kind of don't remember it either.
I had absolutely no chance of getting that right. I got to give Gilberto credit. He got the first two questions correct. And that's how Chris versus the fans works. It's one of those things. It's like sometimes it's an all or nothing, you know, like the first caller calls in and wins. And people who hear the segment go, well, that's easy. And then sometimes the segment goes for like 25 minutes and we can't give the prize away. So. You just never quite know how it's going to turn out, and it just so happens that Gilberto was on the money. So
yeah.
Nicely done, Gilberto.
Speaking of NFL and NFL royalty, the semifinalists came out today for the Hall of Fame, and Some good names on this list, Chris. I mean,
yeah.
Jared Allen's a first-timer on there. Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron's a first-timer. I think Peyton Manning's going to jump the list on many of these folks who've been waiting for an opportunity to get in there. And
if you've been hanging on the edge, and you're going to hang on the edge another year, because
no
Peyton
doubt.
Manning's going to go right into the Hall of Fame.
Charles Woodson.
And so is he.
Yeah.
And so is Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, those are three first ballot Hall of Famers automatically.
I agree.
I'd have to do a little more research on Jared Allen. I know he's a very good player. I'd have to research all of his Pro Bowls and, you know, all pro teams and things of that nature. But I don't have to do any research to tell you that Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, and Charles Woodson are going into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. So if you're one of those people that were just on the borderline of getting into the Hall of Fame,
you're going to wait a little bit
longer. Plan on waiting a little longer, because those guys are going in.
There are a bunch of wide receivers that are on the cusp here that are going to get jumped by Calvin, I think. Torrey Holt, you got Hines Ward, you got Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
All three of those
guys are
deserving of being Hall of Famers, but Calvin, my guess, is going to jump all three of those guys.
Yeah, I think so. But again, the NFL vote works weird, because you have to have a certain number of guys, but you can only have a certain number of guys.
Right.
And each year, that's like four or five guys go in, and there's all kinds of different rules about how the voting works. And then they narrow it down from semifinalists to finalists, and you can get cut at any point along the way. So it's very confusing to me. You know, to me, if I was an NFL player that was up for the Hall of Fame, I would just kind of not pay a lot of attention to it and hope someday somebody called me and said, hey, you're in the Hall of Fame. I know I couldn't do that if I was that close.
I was about to say, it's probably
not that easy, right? Because like your dad was sweating it out to the very last phone
call. It out. And you
when everyone in the world told him that it was a guaranteed done deal.
Like you would think that would be when you're at your most peace, like when you've been told.
When everybody has told you you've made it.
It's going to happen, but I don't know if I've ever seen him more nervous in my life.
No, the video of him waiting for that phone call, you can tell the stress for sure. So, but congratulations to a couple of guys on this list, just for, you know, whether or not they ever make the Hall of Fame, but for being chosen as a semifinalist, that means you're a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And one of the guys whose names pop out to me on this list is Eric Allen, who's a local kid from Point Loma High School, if I'm not mistaken.
We got a chance to have him on our show at Cathedral.
His son went to Cathedral, and he came on our show a few weeks ago. I once played little hoops with Eric Allen, just a really nice
guy.
He's
I've always thought of him as like the gentleman of gentlemen
when it
comes to football.
Or
when it comes to just guys you meet, athletes that you meet, he just seems so kind-hearted you know, he was willing to give us his time that day. He had nothing to do with anything.
He must have flipped a switch on Sundays when he played in the NFL, because there's no way you could be that nice and play cornerback and defense in the NFL. Otherwise, you'd get run over by those trucks, those pulling guards and stuff like that.
I 100% agree. There had to be something that switched over once the game.
Let me ask you, Allen wasn't just a cornerback in the NFL. He was a really good one.
He was one of the best in the league at the time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Let me ask you this, because I think things have kind of shuffled a little bit according to betting odds. Things have certainly shuffled. Who are you thinking is the MVP right now in the NFL?
Oh, boy.
I mean,
Mahomes is starting to go back into the lead.
Well,
again.
He's moved into the front in terms of betting odds. Moved back in the front over Russell.
Yeah, Russell slipped a couple of games.
You got Patrick, Russell, Rodgers, Kyler Murray, and Josh Allen as the five that are having
the top five
odds-wise.
Yeah. Well, I can't argue it. I have to get some statistics out in front of me. Dalvin Cook seemed like he was, you know, statistically is having an unbelievable year, but the Vikings are 4-6.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to be MVP.
All five of those guys we named are on teams that are having a high success of winning.
I think Josh Allen is underrated out of that group, because, I mean, I guess you could say the same thing, but if you put so-and-so at quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, seems like they'd probably still be 7-3. They still have so many weapons. I don't know. I'm not taking anything away from Patrick Mahomes. He's unbelievable. But I guess my point is, if you took Josh Allen off the Buffalo Bills, they don't seem like they'd be anywhere near as dangerous. So I always give that a little thought when I'm thinking of MVP voting. You know, somebody in Pittsburgh's got to be in contention. They're 10-0. I mean, you got to at least mention Roethlisberger
right?
or Minka Fitzpatrick if you must.
Somebody.
Or somebody from or Mike Tomlin.
Jason Claypool.
Right. MVP. Can he get an MVP?
can Tomlin get it? I mean, you know, they're 10-0, so, I mean, it's kind of hard to totally overlook Pittsburgh, too.
I'll say this. I don't know that Josh Allen has been good enough MVP-wise. Because I look at Josh and I see the same really good quarterback that we saw last year. Just we are expecting what we see from him now. But I still see him making some of the same weird mistakes I seen him make last year. But he's making them earlier in the game as opposed to later in the game than he was last year. But he's certainly worthy of being on this list.
Derrick Henry's another guy you could at least consider. He's leading the league in rushing, and he's on a good team. DeAndre Hopkins has helped transform
Kyler Murray, yeah.
Kyler Murray and Arizona. You know, I'll tell you a guy, this is a long shot, but he's so much better than everyone else at his position that I think Travis Kelce ought to get a nod. Just at least a look.
Yeah,
I'm not saying a tight end winning MVP would be – I don't know that that's ever even happened. I'd have to go back and see. But I can't think of a tight end ever getting MVP honors. Kellen Winslow is pretty dominant, but I don't think he ever got it like an MVP. But Travis Kelce, he's third in the National Football League in receiving yards among everybody. Not just tight ends,
yeah.
I mean, there's DeAndre Hopkins, there's Stephon Diggs, they're top two, and then Travis Kelce. And the next tight end on the list is Darren Waller of the Raiders, who's 400 yards behind him.
It was funny. Was it Sunday night's game?
Yeah.
Sunday night's game, they put up, because that's one and two
right.
tight ends right there, and it was like 1-2, 1-2, and then it got to yards. And it was like 700 to like 4-something.
Yeah, it's not close.
And it was 1-2 in that one.
Yeah, Kelsey's at 896, Waller's at 519. So it's almost 900 to 500. I mean, you're talking about a 400-yard difference at one position. Kelce also has 7 touchdowns. So, you know, he's got the numbers to back it up.
And, you know, that's really who Mahomes' go-to guy is. It's Kelce. It's
whenever he's scrambling right. around, that's the guy that he finds. But it's probably because he's the biggest guy and he's easiest to spot.
Touche.
But I don't know. Should you give a guy a little bit of love in the MVP balloting because he's so much better? He gives Kansas City an advantage that no other team has. No other team in the NFL has an advantage like Travis Kelce. He's also in there on running plays to block, and he does other things. I mean, he's not just a receiving tight end. They don't take him out of him in running situations. He blocks. He does those things.
That's what separates him.
So I think he's I'm not saying I'm going to vote for him for MVP. I'm just saying
that's
a guy that I would think of just because he stands out so much.
It does separate him for the rest of the pack. I mean, because I don't know if you guys heard Gronk talking about this very thing. Like, you know, tight end isn't just – pass catching. You have to be able to block. And he was like, unfortunately, blocking tight ends just don't get paid in this league. So,
no.
So nobody really wants to do it. But the really good ones, your man out in San Francisco, Kittle man. Kelce, those two are in a different – they're in a different place, right? They're on the field because, well, at least Kelce.
I was going to say.
At least Kelce's on the field.
I'll give Travis Kelce this. He does not get
He doesn't
injured.
Miss games, right? Because you really would put three different tight ends that do all of it, right? Kelce, Kittle, and Ernst. Two of those three, though, aren't on the field a lot because they get hurt doing everything. You know what I'm saying? Kelce is in a different boat. So,
and I'd have to look at some of the defensive statistics, but maybe this is a year when an Aaron Donald or a Jalen Ramsey is worth thinking about.
It might be.
I don't know that they would ever do it. I mean, you talk about defensive. I'm looking at the list of MVPs right now. I mean, the last 7 have all been quarterbacks. Prior to that, it was Adrian Peterson. Then there was 4 more quarterbacks. Then you had LT got one. Sean Alexander, some running backs.
So you haven't seen anything
the
other than running back.
The last receiver to win MVP, the last receiver of any kind was Jerry Rice in 1990. You're going back 30 years.
And there's too many guys catching balls like that now.
This is the – I'm going to tell you the strangest selection of all time. 1982, and this was a shortened season because of a strike. The teams only played 7 games or 9 games that season.
LT?
No. Mark Moseley, a kicker for the Washington Redskins, was named MVP.
Knock it off.
Yeah, kicker.
That's ridiculous.
I'd have to look at his statistics, but they couldn't have been that unbelievable. In 1982, I mean, the kickers.
I love kickers.
I do too, but not that much.
I love kickers.
LT, Lawrence Taylor, LT is who you're referring to. Yeah. He won MVP in 1986 as far as defensive players are concerned. And Alan Page is a defensive tackle who won it in the early 70s. But that's it. I mean, you know, there's no tight end. No tight end has ever won the MVP. And I think that maybe sometimes we get just a little too quarterback crazy. I love the quarterbacks. Obviously, they make it go. Mahomes is spectacular in every way, shape, or form. But I think when you're thinking of MVP, it's fair to at least consider some of the other players. Like, it doesn't have to be a quarterback. Or
you don't want to set the precedence that you'll just keep going quarterback from this on out because the offense is moving more towards quarterbacks. I mean, basically, everybody's dropping back 55 times. Everybody's throwing the ball a lot. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting race as we get towards end.
Mark Moseley in the 1982 season, just for shape, made 20 of 21 field goals. So what?
That's literally nothing in the season now. Oh, wow.
So what? MVP.
That's crazy. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, Scraby's got a big five, and we're going to get into it. We are here for it on Gwen and Chris. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm thinking maybe the MVP this year ought to be Jason Sanders of the Miami Dolphins. He's better than 20 for 21 on field goals.
He's making my fantasy team nice right now.
Yeah, he's been kicking well. That's what Mark Moseley was in 1982 when he won an NFL MVP. That's unbelievable. It's funny some of the stuff you find when you're just looking around having a conversation. Welcome, Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. hanging out with you on this Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Remember, we do have another full show coming up tomorrow from 3 to 7 o'clock. And a little bit later on in the program, this evening, we'll have a Padre pen pal, so we'll get into some Padre conversation. Eric or Aaron was on the phone just a few moments ago, Scraby.
Eric.
Yes. And pass along some information. We've been trying to kind of sort out what the Aztecs are going to do, Aztec football, in terms of who or if they're going to play this weekend. And we've been talking about, why not play Washington? University of Washington's game
U-dub.
Got canceled against Washington State. And the Pac-12 did say last week that it's okay for Pac-12 teams to play out of the conference. So San Diego State has basically said, or Brady Hoke has said, up until tomorrow, where he kind of thinks that's a drop dead. He needs to know by tomorrow, and that makes sense. You got to get ready for a game. But up until then, he'd pretty much accept a game against almost anybody and go to Seattle if need be and whatever. But Eric had some thoughts as to why perhaps that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
so Scraby's going to try to explain it in case it's wrong.
No, Eric was he laid everything out very well. He said that the Aztecs are waiting because if another Pac-12 team becomes available for Washington to play, the Pac-12 team has to take first choice for Washington.
Well, I said the same thing for the Mountain West Conference team. The Aztecs had to wait and see if a Mountain West Conference team maybe opened up as well.
I don't think that's going to happen, so.
Well, I don't know.
I think the Mountain West would rather play the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 would probably rather play the Pac-12.
No, the Mountain West Conference wants its teams to play. I know what you're saying. As a fan, you'd like to see the Aztecs get a shot at Washington.
Yeah,
we'd all like to see that as Aztec
Washington
fans.
Doesn't want to lose to the Aztecs.
No,
though.
But in a Mountain West Conference, the conference wants schools from their own conference to play games.
Yeah.
So you've got New Mexico, Utah State, Wyoming, UNLV, and both of those games involve schools with uncertain situations. Utah State and UNLV had their games canceled last weekend. So if their opponents were to become available like Wyoming, the Mountain West Conference, I think, would rather the Aztecs play Wyoming. I'm just saying that's probably the same way as what the Pac-12 is thinking with Washington.
And they can also stick to their own protocols and all that stuff.
I was just getting ready to say, I think it has more to do with protocols and trying to keep teams that are already in their conference that would be playing against each other keeping. That's their safety measure right there. When you start going outside the conference, I think you can run into some issues. Because different protocols for different conferences, as we've learned all year long.
Good point. Good point, gentlemen. All right, 4:43 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and we've been efforting to get hooked up with Brian Baldinger, our Radio.com NFL insider. Talk a little NFL football with you and him on this Tuesday evening. And fortunately enough, Tony, time has come. So we're going to put the Big Five on hold until the 5:30 spot.
He said he's been breaking down Derek Carr film, and he lost track of time. So,
well, hey, you got to break it down. Joining us on the SDCC Fan Hotline is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. And Insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Brian with Jason LaCanfora on Baldy's Breakdowns. New episodes out twice a week. Just search Baldy. B-A-L-D-Y, wherever you find podcasts. So, very busy guy, and we appreciate him carving out a little time for us today. Brian, how are you? Thanks again for hooking up with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. Sorry I missed you a couple times. I'm in the film room. I was just studying Derek Carr's performance against the Chiefs. I lost all track of time.
What did you come up with? Because just from somebody who didn't see any film, looked like Derek Carr was so good in that game that the Raiders almost got too far away from their running game.
Now they balanced it up. I mean, they had a hard time running it, you know, really effectively, but they ran it enough. So they balanced it up. But, you know, when Mahomes is out there, you know, really, you know, carving you up, like, you're not going to get that many tries. I mean, the thing is that in the game, the Raiders only had seven possessions. They scored in five of their seven possessions.
Wow.
Most games you get at least 10 to 12 possessions. So, I mean, they still had 26 runs in the game, didn't run for as many yards as they would have wanted to. But I thought he was really – I mean, I know he could throw for more yards, he could throw for more touchdowns in the game, but I don't know if he could play better than what he did. It's an incredible chess match between him and what Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense were doing.
Brian, what have you seen from Derek Carr? Because he clearly looks like he's – as confident as he was that rookie season before he had the injury, he kind of had looked like he'd been searching for that. But he seems to be really, really comfortable in the offense that Gruden has for him. What are you seeing different from him this year than maybe the past couple of years?
Well, I think he's more than just confident. I mean, I think he believes that this is a really good football team, and he's got all the weapons that he needs right now. Nelson Agholor has been a godsend.
Yeah.
You know, but with Renfro and Waller and Ruggs, you know, and the running backs that they have, he's got everything he needs to be a top flight offense. And now, I mean, between the motions and the shifts, and it's not quite yet what Mahomes has in Kansas City when you talk about two centerpieces. You know, they've got Kelce and they've got Hill. And they move those two pieces around and everybody else kind of like fits in. Well, they have Waller, you know, right now, and they have Ruggs in his speed, and now everybody else kind of fits in, and it's getting close to Kansas City because it was a great game this weekend.
Yes, it was.
They really match up well, but it is. Carr really knows what he's looking at right now, and that's the difference, is that the motions to shift the offense and how he's seeing the defenses, like it just, I think he really knows where to go with the ball.
Brian Baldinger is with us, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Let's stick with the Chiefs for a second, Brian, and talk a little bit about Mahomes and Kelce. Tony and I were just actually having this conversation. Mahomes has kind of taken over the lead as far as being the favorite for the MVP. I don't think anybody can argue that. But I brought up the idea that maybe Travis Kelce ought to get a couple of MVP votes. I know tight ends don't win MVP, but he gives them such an advantage that, frankly, no other team in the National Football League can even come close to. I mean, he's got 400 yards more receiving than any other tight end. And just his presence makes life so much more easy for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, is Travis Kelce almost underrated in the sense that he gives the Chiefs something nobody else can match?
Well, I don't think he's underrated. You know, they they recognize that this is a big body. Okay, I mean, he's got a big wingspan. He's, you know, he's long. He runs like a wide receiver. You watch him in pregame warm-up run routes. I mean, there's no difference between him and any of the wide receivers. I mean, he runs with just the routes just the same at his size. Mm. He's got a presence to him. He really has. He's played a lot of football, so he really knows where the openings are, what he can do, what he can't do. Mahomes looks for him when he gets in trouble. He knows how to uncover and get into the passing vision of Mahomes. Now, he's dependent upon Mahomes, though. I mean, I think if you put him, I don't know, let's just say you put him in Jacksonville's offense, he's not going to look like an MVP. So, it's just not going to be the same. He wasn't the same when Alex Smith was a quarterback. But it is the way that they use him, the way that they, they flex him, they rotate. You know, I mean, he's just such a chess piece that they use in so many different ways. And sometimes it's just a decoy, you know, what he can do. So it's a sophisticated passing game. It continues to evolve. But make no mistake about it, Mahomes is just a little more special than everybody else right now.
Brian, let's talk about the GOAT, Tom Brady, and that's Tampa Bay offense, which has seemingly been pretty inconsistent. You see a performance like last week where they're lighting up the scoreboard, and you see them have a good first half and then kind of lose their way. Why do you think the inconsistencies have been there for the Buccaneers this year?
Well, I don't really think he's a good fit for the offense. Mm. I mean, last night they ran – like he's the worst-rated quarterback in the league right now when it comes to deep shots. I mean, passes of 20 yards or more.
Yeah.
And it was just one incompletion after another last night. And it's just not what he does. Maybe the year with Randy Moss, we scored 23 touchdowns, he threw the ball down the field like that. But, I mean, it's just vertical. A lot last night was Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans running just go routes. And, you know, Tom Brady, pick your choice. And, you know, he didn't make good decisions, and he didn't have a great touch. And Bruce Arians once again calls him out, you know, in a press conference the day after the game. But it's just not what Tom Brady has done. I mean, he's thrown to Wes Welker, and he's thrown to Julian Edelman, and he's thrown to Gronk over the middle of the field, between the numbers, you know, but not down the field and not outside the numbers. And I just don't think it's a good fit right now. And he tried to throw it to the backs a little bit last night. They dropped a bunch. But regardless, I think they're going to struggle and be inconsistent, like you say, when they go up against good defenses. And the Rams are a very good defense. They do a lot. They have a lot of good matchup players like Jalen Ramsey and, you know, Darius Williams. And, you know, it's just, they come after you in a variety of ways. And when they go up against good defenses, I don't know that this is the best way to really move the football. And they're going to see it against the Saints in the playoffs or the Rams in the playoffs. You're going to see some good defenses where, you know, throwing go routes is not going to be the way to win the game.
Do you think Tom Brady is do we have to start asking questions about his age, or is that just too simple to ask that at this point?
Yeah, I think it's too simple. I mean, you know, he's taking every snap, and he's not hurt. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a departure from what has made him great. I mean, if you look at the two touchdown throws that he made last night, you know, to Mike Evans and to Chris Godwin, he threw the ball short underneath. And then those guys made fantastic plays after the catch. I mean, ridiculous plays after the catch. And they are that type of player. They're capable of doing that consistently. But they were underneath throws. It wasn't down the field. And so I think there's got to be – I mean, Bruce Arians can be – you know, he can be funny, but he can be stubborn. And I think at some point, if this is going to really work, because they've got great talent, if this is going to work, I think there's got to be a better melting – between what Brady does best and what Arians wants to do.
Right. Brian Baldinger, radio.com, NFL insider, joins us here on the SDCCU fan hotline. And Brian, Steelers are 10-0. They don't seemingly get the same type of noise that the Chiefs are getting, but they're 10-0. Where do you see the Steelers in this AFC kind of standings?
Well, I think it's Pittsburgh and Kansas City have separated themselves amongst everybody in the AFC. And you can see a direct collision right now sometime in January between Pittsburgh and Kansas City for the AFC championship. if you want to talk about MVP candidates, you have to talk about Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
he hasn't been sacked in the last 148 passes. You got to go back to the third quarter of the Ravens game in week 7. The last time he's been sacked, he's thrown 148 passes without being sacked. And his receiving core is, it's all homegrown kids. Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, James Washington, they all have a defined role. The addition of, the tight end right now is real. He makes a big difference in that offense. And the offensive line is playing as well as anybody. And then defensively, you know, nobody sacks the quarterback more, takes the ball away more than the Steelers.
Yeah.
And so they did that again last year. They may lead the league in sacks and takeaways for the second year in a row. No team has ever done that in the history of the NFL. And they may do that this year. So if you're giving extra at-bats from the takeaways back to Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know. Like, you can start, you know, they win this week, you know, on Thanksgiving here against the Ravens. You can start, you know, counting, because it'll be a big deal. You know, you get to 11-0, you're going to start counting the games down to perfection. And they're capable of doing it.
Yeah, they look like they are. They got a game in Buffalo. They got a game in Cleveland. They got a game at home against the Colts. But everything's doable right now in this strange season. Brian, thanks so much for catching up with us and continuing to effort to reach us today. I know it's a busy day, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us out here in San Diego. Have a very good holiday, and thanks for the good insight. Appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, you got it. There he is. Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, driver Mercedes-Benz van. And find out how far an extra mile really goes. You can also hear Brian, and he did have some pretty good insight there, I must say. Jason LaConfora on Baldy's Breakdowns. Each new episode is out twice a week. Search Baldy wherever you find podcasts. And also, of course, his appearance on the program brought to you by our friends at the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary for details. Visit SDCCU.com. All right, that was some good stuff, especially the thing about Brady not fitting into the Tampa Bay offense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Been saying that from the beginning, guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Insider Matt Scraby, for that.
I've been saying it forever.
It's very rare that he gets something right, so I'll let him have this one.
You got one. You got one, Scraby. Nice job. All right, when we come back, the first college football playoff rankings are out. We'll let you know where everybody stands when we come back and kick off hour number 3 with Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.